everyone. Welcome to Tarot Talk.
Hello.
Hello. Today on the show, we're going to talk about the Chucky Child's Play franchise, so to speak, in honor of the fact that the last half of the series, the Chucky series, is actually just dropped. I have not watched the whole series. This is not a show that's going to include the series necessarily. I do remember watching like the first couple of episodes of it and remembering that it was really good. So now I have it on my list actually to watch and review for the show in the next several months. Maybe when this season three is over, I can binge it all.
Yeah.
But yeah. So there are several of these movies that I had not seen. There are 8 Child's Play / Chucky movies, and there's a couple of them that I definitely hadn't seen before. But the OG, Child's Play 1988, directed by Tom Holland, I had seen several times. And I remember it being definitely scary when I first saw it.
Oh, the original? Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like it.
So watching it again, because I did rewatch the ones, I watched them all for this episode freshly. I have fresh watch, and I enjoyed it. You know, the black magic part of it, the gruesome. Yeah. Is Jennifer Tilly in the first
one? No, I'm just talking about in general.
Okay. She's jumping ahead. It's fine.
Just saying, I rewatched all of them just because it was fun.
I know. So this first one, the black magic, the gruesome kills, the serial killer aspect, right? Because the basic idea is that this infamous serial killer, Ed Gale, dies and then uses his own black magic voodoo, the 80s, you know, and voodoo. We distorted it quite a bit, but it was fun in this movie. He uses his black magic to put his soul before he dies into a good guy doll.
I thought it was Charles Lee Ray.
Oh, sorry. Who's Ed Gale?
I don't know.
This serial killer, Charles Lee Ray, dies in a hail of gunfire in this children's toy store and puts his soul with black magic into the doll. Into this good guy doll, which is the doll we all know and love from the 80s with the red hair and the big blue eyes and the Chucky doll.
His hair's so funny. I know, the hair.
The hair is a thing throughout all these movies. You watch how the hair like changes and shifts, and the eyes too, the way the different ways they make the dolls. But in this original, it was 7 to 10 puppeteers to make this doll work. And honestly, you know, even looking back, because it was from 1988, even watching it now, it is still, you're not scared, no. But it's still gruesome. There's like practical effects and gore and there's jump scares. And I think it's still a pretty good movie. I think it kind of holds up in the sense that, you know, you're watching an 80s movie, obviously, because of hairstyles and everything. But I think it holds up. What do you think?
I think it does, too. And I just love the practical effects that I think those get lost a bit in the newer ones, although they do some funny combination of things in the newer ones. But if you watch it as an old horror movie, there's still some, he's creepy still.
Yeah, I think it's a solid one. I mean, he's just creepy.
The best is when he has like the little knife at the end with it.
Yeah.
Slashing the Achilles.
And they show his POV, you know, and he's like
underneath the couch.
Running around like a little short.
Little shit.
Okay.
He's a little fucker.
I would recommend it. I think it's a good movie. The second one, unless you had something else to say
about that. No, I would agree.
The second one, Child's Play 2, is from 1990. And
no.
Chucky's back, Kathy. I don't know if you knew. But when Andy's mother, so the child in these movies' name is Andy. That's why it's allowed to be called Child's Play for the first 3 movies, is because there's an actual child in it. And the kid's name is Andy, much like Toy Story. No, just kidding. Andy is the doll in Toy Story. Andy's mother is admitted to a psychiatric hospital, and the young boy, Andy, is placed in foster care. Now he's like a teenager, and Chucky, determined to claim Andy's soul, is not far behind. There's some super familiar like actors from the 80s and 90s that are in this movie, like B actors that I don't know the names of, but if you are watching movies during that time period, there's a lot of really familiar faces.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't know that Child's Play 2 was basically a mannequin movie. There's a bunch of mannequins in this movie.
There are.
What did you think of this movie?
It was okay. Yeah. It was fine. I kind of lose interest through part of two. I don't really love the series again until Bride.
Okay.
So, I mean, I appreciate that they grow him up a bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the story continues, and then, like, you know, the doll comes back and the whole, like, I understand why they did it. The number one did very well. They're like, all right, how do we grow this kid up and make more of a story of this? I got bored.
Yeah.
Sure. I felt like just more of the same. There wasn't any, it wasn't until we get to those different ones where the story starts to change a bit and they start to bring in more humor.
Yeah. So Child's Play 3 is 1991. You see how they did them like 88, 90, 91, because the first one was a hit. And so they churned out some more, which is what we do, right? So yeah. In Child's Play 3 is 1991, and Andy has now been sent to a military school. And, you know, it's funny because I didn't hate this movie. Like, it's a bad movie. I mean,
it's terrible.
But I don't know. I kind of liked the military part because it was very, I know it's 1991, but as we know, there's a transition between decades, and it still felt very 80s to me. And there were all of these really cheesy characters in the military school.
Yeah.
And they had them doing like military ops and stuff. There's this one part where one of the guys throws himself on a grenade and actually dies. The teenager, like, they actually have him throw himself on a grenade that Chucky has thrown, and he dies from the grenade. I'm like, wait, what? The nerdy kid, he just dies on this grenade, like being the hero. I'm like, how is this part of a Chucky movie? But okay.
I just like how Chucky all of a sudden like shows up to the base camp.
It was,
and he's just like
fucking ridiculous.
He's just popping up in different areas of
it was bad.
It was so bad.
But it wasn't, but you know what? It's not the worst in the franchise. And I have a feeling Kathy and I think there are different ones that are the worst ones of the franchise. But these three are not the worst ones. FYI. On to Bride of Chucky. So we skip these 7 years, right? We go from 91 to 98. And now we're in a situation where MGM still owns, even to this day, I think, the rights to the Child's Play name. So when they reasserted these movies, it's kind of, you know, it's Bride of Chucky, so it's a riff on Bride of Frankenstein. They have to change the name. And so now they have like Bride of Chucky, Seed of Chucky, Curse of Chucky, because they had to change this name. They couldn't use the Child's Play name. So that's why they're different. But then also, well, Jennifer Tilly shows up, basically. You know, one of the things I like about this franchise is that they use the same Chucky voice throughout all
Brad
the movies.
Dorf.
Until 2019. Yeah. But throughout these first 7 movies, they use the same guy. I think that's great.
It's Brad Dourif, and he has a great voice.
So tell me about this movie. What did you, since oh, you God. Like it?
I just love, this Bride of Chucky and Seed of Chucky, because of Jennifer Tilly, to me, this is where it gets fun. Because it now becomes less about this backstory of him being this serial killer or whatever who possessed. And now they bring in this ridiculous kind of natural born killers component. And Jennifer Tilly is essentially trying to bring him back, right? She's lost her love. Mm-hmm. So Chucky, the doll possessed by a serial killer, discovers the perfect mate to kill and revive into the body of another doll. In my opinion, she carries this whole movie, and she's a complete psychopath in this movie. And because it's Jennifer Tilly and she doesn't take herself so seriously, seeing both of these dolls in this story and they're taking themselves so seriously when they're not really supposed to be, to me, is the funniest part of this. So they switch, they kind of do what Nightmare on Elm Street did, which was, you know, the first couple of Freddies are really serious, and then he gets a little funny because you got to change it up. It's because Chucky's no longer going to be scary after a while.
No, we get it. Like, yeah. It's not,
yeah. So, I personally liked this shift. I think if they would have kept it, you know, Chucky 1, 2, 3, more of that, it just would have died off. So I think it was her character and just her wit and her voice and everything that makes Jennifer Tilly, it just worked with this movie. And then her banter with him.
Yeah.
So it was a horror comedy, and mm-hmm. it completely changed. And it was like, okay, we all understand, we've seen Child's Play. Let's kind of make fun of it now, but also make it good at the same time. So I liked it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Bride of Chucky is a lot of fun to me as well. The tagline is Chucky gets lucky, because, you know, he hooks up with another murderous doll, basically. And there's a very young Katherine Heigl in this.
Yes.
There's a very young John Ritter in this.
And Alexis Arquette.
What's that?
Alexis Arquette.
Yeah, and Alexis Arquette. So if you don't know, Alexis Arquette is a sibling. It happens to be deceased, so RIP. Mm-hmm. And happens to be related to Patricia Arquette, David Arquette, Rosanna Arquette, the whole family. And has both identified as a male and a female, did throughout their life. When I read stories that, so a transgendered actor is my point, mm-hmm. was in Bride of Chucky, which I think is pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. And they play a really funny part in this movie. And I thought they were really funny in it. And I really enjoyed that performance. And that's actually what led me to look up who it was.
Okay.
And then I went down this rabbit hole of, oh, yes, I remember this. And, oh, yes, I remember this person. And I remember them. And I also remember when the Arquette family was grieving them and all of that. So I just wanted to point that out as well. And then we get to Seed of Chucky, 2004.
My favorite. I can't help it. I love Glenda so.
It's so bad.
So
you guys.
Much.
This is trash. This is Kathy trash.
This is my favorite.
I can understand why.
Okay.
It is so off the rails.
She's like, Glenda. I think Chucky says Glenda, and she says Glenda, and he goes, "That's my name, Mother. Don't wear it out." I died.
Fear the second coming. Chucky and Tiffany, basically. So the idea, guys, if you haven't watched these, which you don't have to. You don't have to watch any
Glenn
of them.
And Glenda.
We're here so you don't have to. Chucky is obviously a doll embodied by a human spirit. Tiffany is basically a doll embodied by a human spirit. And that human spirit is Tiffany, who is Jennifer Tilly. And now we have a movie with two main characters who are dolls having a relational drama, and then a son, Seed of Chucky.
You know, the beginning of this movie, though, is a little sad.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, where essentially what happens is he's been separated from his parents and ends up like in the hands of an abusive ventriloquist.
Yeah, for sure. It is a bit sad. And then it goes off the rails.
Because they humiliate him and all this stuff. But then once he finds his birth parents, that's the funniest part.
It's fucking ridiculous.
He's chasing his parents down.
Hilarious.
And Chucky's like, who's this fucking ugly asshole? And she's like, that's our son. He's like, yeah, whatever. You know?
And again, this is all puppeteers. These are all doll, like doll relational drama. There's a lot of pop culture in this one, I noticed. If you aren't of the time of like 2004, or you are, you'll enjoy it for the pop culture references. Like there's Britney Spears and there's this and there's that. John Waters is in it. Like there's all these little pop culture references. But this was where the franchise like kind of took a dive, because after Bride of Chucky sort of didn't do that great, this one, Seed of Chucky, I'm sure after the executive saw it, it went straight to Netflix. There was no theatrical opening.
No.
Because they were like, huh? What did you do?
Yeah, it's
what happened.
It is really bad, but it's so good.
Yeah. It's definitely like trash you have to love, basically, to watch it, right?
Yeah.
And then we move to Curse of Chucky in 2013. The same guy who directed your favorite with the doll drama.
Yeah.
Directed this one.
Curse of Chucky?
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead. Oh, you have facts.
I would like to do some facts before we... Chucky Facts with a Kathy. Shannon, the original working title for Child's Play was blank. I'm going to give you a few options, okay?
Oh.
Bloody Buddy. A, Bloody Buddy. B, Batteries Not Included. C, Bludgeoning Benny. D, A and B. Or E, B and C.
I'm confused already. Okay.
Okay. Number two, the photo of Andy's deceased father in the background in his bedroom is actually a photograph of whom?
Okay.
Number three, how many people did it take to control Chucky? Number four, Child's Play creator Don Mancini was inspired by the blank craze.
And he's the one who just directed The Curse and the puppet drama. Okay.
And then number five, which actress was first imagined to be the voice of Chucky?
I don't know, man.
I'll tell you.
Curse of Chucky, 2013.
Awful. Fucking horrible.
Okay.
The worst out of all of them.
Oh, my God. Directed by Don Mancini, the same guy who did the puppets.
Yes.
So, pretty bad. Fear Has a New Home.
I hate everything about this movie.
So this one is where they legit attempt to make a creepy movie. Like they're going back towards, they do these two like campy ones, and then they're legit trying to do like, there's creepy shots. They're including like an updated design of what Chucky looks like. It's like a, it's creepy. It's not funny anymore. They're legit trying to do a movie. I was bored.
So bored that I was like, oh, the door guy, Jordan Gavaris, he's from Orphan Black. Like, that's what I was paying attention to.
Yeah, I know. I think it's slow.
It's so stupid
and
slow.
I was thinking like maybe they were making it for a new audience, right? They were trying to make a horror movie again. They were trying to capture a new audience. It's 2013, so there was a thing there. But like, so slow, so boring. And it wasn't that the acting was bad. It wasn't that any of that stuff was bad. It was just that it was like, wah, wah. It just kind of hit like, meh. And this one and the next one, which I think is actually worse, there's end scenes and there are credit scenes that you've got to see because they're better than the whole movie. And you get surprise Easter egg. I won't ruin it for you if you're... Well, actually, anybody who's listening to this episode is either not ever going to watch these movies or has watched these movies. But the credit scene with Jennifer Tilly on this movie and on the next movie are like better than the whole movie.
Yeah.
So...
No, that's the only little bit you get.
You got to see the end credit scenes for that, which is fun because it does tie in to the whole franchise. So... They're giving you a little bit of like what you need to get to the next one by bringing Jennifer Tilly in for a day and getting her to do a scene at the end. Because, of course, she wasn't going to be in these shitty movies. Then we go to Cult of Chucky, 2017. Again, directed by Don Mancini, the creator of this whole thing. To me, this is the worst movie because at least with the doll drama one, it's like... ridiculous and silly and you're like, what the fuck am I watching? And it's like a good time. It's like a, it's so bad it's fun kind of experience. This movie, The Cult of Chucky, like Curse of Chucky, I thought was gonna maybe be the worst one, but no, because then they topped themselves because Cult of Chucky was
worse. Why did they even bother?
It was so much worse. It was so bad. I don't know, but Don Mancini was directing them, so I imagine there's a thing there. I don't know. But they had a budget, and they put money into it, and they were really trying, I'm assuming, really trying to resurrect the franchise. But this movie in particular is my worst of the whole
thing.
Well,
I just feel like once they tried to go back to serious, mm-hmm. after they had done such a great job with like the dark comedy, mm-hmm. that's what I was saying earlier, is like that was a great pivot to continue this and make it something different. And then they try, and they've done this in a lot of series where then they try to go mm-hmm. back to that OG and it's like, no, that time has passed. let it be that. You're not going to be able to outdo, especially for the nostalgia and all that, you're not going to be able to outdo this. Just leave it.
Just leave it.
Don't go back to some random ass story no one cares about.
Yeah, at least until you can do the reboot and all of that. The problem with this one too, obviously, is that it bleeds into our field, right? Mm-hmm. It's like confined to an asylum for the criminally insane.
Well, and that, yeah.
Nika Pierce is convinced that she, not Chucky, murdered her entire family. So this is a carrying on the storyline from the last bad one, from Curse of Chucky. And murdered her entire family. And when the psychiatrist introduces a new therapeutic good guy doll with a familiar face, a string of new grisly murders, you know, like Chucky basically kills up the psychiatric hospital. And they've got like a psychiatrist that crosses lines and hypnotizes people and kisses them against their will and does all kinds of stupid shit. And he dies in a very fantastical way, which is delightful. And I'm not saying the kills are bad in these movies. The kills are fun. Like if you want to just do a little compilation of all the kills in these movies, then that would be a good time because they do that.
I think the only and this is off camera information, but I think the only kind of cool thing about them doing Cult of Chucky and all this is they bring in Fiona Dourif to play, I think, Nina, the woman in the wheelchair, and that's Brad Dourif's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of cool. They kind of, you know, keep that in the family, and it's somewhat of an Easter egg because unless you look it up, you don't really know who she is. And they have some really sweet interviews together that they do on that documentary. That's like the only good thing I can say about this whole thing is I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, and she's done some other stuff.
She has,
and everything,
but it's kind of cool that he like kind of pass that down to her because it's such an iconic franchise. And if you haven't seen that documentary where they interview everybody involved,
that's
and stuff,
a good one.
It's a really, really good one. Yeah, I have nothing good to say about those Mancini.
Yeah. That is his name. Yep, the whole creator of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And so then we come to 2019, the reboot of Child's Play, basically.
What did you think of this?
And I like this movie.
I really liked this movie.
I saw this in the theater. Like, this is a good movie. So when you say, like, oh, keep it the funny, silly, like, this was a way that they actually did it well, right? Like, they can make a scary movie out of Child's Play again, but they had to wait, you know, for the right the right director, the right situation. And there's a child in it again, which makes it Child's Play.
Well, and here's what I thought they did well. You and I talked when you and I reviewed the Omen franchise. We talked about how the remake or the reboot, remake, whatever, of the original was literally a cut and paste.
Yeah.
Why? This one utilized technology and sped it up and made it more relevant to 2019 without losing the essence of the original story, but also kind of making it its own.
Yeah, they didn't try to continue the story, which is what these last two movies tried to do. Because it's Dan Mancini, probably, he was like trying to carry on as if there was going to be like a big mythology around
it. Sorry, buddy.
But this, I mean, they got Mark Hamill to do Chucky's voice, which is, he's really good in it.
Yeah.
And they did update it and made it very contemporary. And there's like a little kid gang, you know, which is what we love now. And Chucky is scary. One thing that could have gone really wrong, which I think didn't, and most people kind of embrace this movie in general. I mean, not most people, honestly. Most people probably hate this movie, but it didn't get good reviews. But I like this movie, and so did Kathy. And I think one of the interesting things that might go awry for some people watching this is I thought it was an interesting choice that they made Chucky a victim of circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not the Chucky we know from the 80s. The Chucky we know from the 80s is a serial killer that embodied a doll through black magic and then went on a killing rampage.
Which was very 80s.
That is a slasher.
Yeah.
That is a stereotypical slasher Von Slasherton. Like, that's what it is. This, they've made it very 2019 because they've made Chucky a victim of circumstances, meaning there's some guy at the factory that puts in a devious chip in this particular doll kind of like a terrorist would, kind of like a bad person would, and let me poison this thing of soda water, you know, to make everybody die. This is this kind of thing. So it's like a victim of circumstance. So he does that. And then, so he's misprogrammed. And then also, Chucky watches violent TV while and learns to become a killer while with Andy. Or the character of Andy, who I don't remember if they
could,
named him Andy.
You could almost
they did
argue that there's a sci-fi piece to this, mm-hmm. just with the whole like AI. I mean, you know, like the technology.
Yeah,
part.
That's the way they kind of updated it. And it became kind of an Avenger story, as if he was avenging Andy. It was very psychopathic in the sense that it was more like a stalker. It was more like stalker psychopathy, right? It was more like... You've raised me and taught me how to be violent and all of this, and I want to be your friend. And when you reject me, I'm going to kill everyone around you so that you're mine, so that I own you. And that's like Chucky's psychology. Like Chucky has psychology now.
Yes.
Like, and is like a victim in some ways. Like, is a psychopathic story in the sense that he was a victim and he was traumatized as a child. And then he, that's like the, I mean, and again, that's not what it said in the movie, but I thought it was an interesting choice because it might have been the reason why it went wrong for some people is because now Chucky's a victim of circumstances and a psychopath and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I just thought that was, that's an interesting distinction.
I had never seen the new one. So this was my first time seeing it. And I, especially coming off of that other garbage, I was like, this is really good.
Yeah, it was a good one. And I totally agree. And I'm looking forward to seeing the series. And I've only watched a little bit of it, like I said. And I know that, and we're kind of doing this because I know that season three is just about to wrap up. And I hope you guys are watching it. I've heard it's really good. And the episodes I did watch were good. So I would check that out too.
Cool.
And now we'll get the answers to the...
Chalky Facts with Kathy. Okay. The original working title for the film was it Bloody Buddy? Was it Batteries Not Included? Was it Bludgeoning Benny? Or was it a combination of those?
A.
Bloody Buddy?
Mm-hmm.
It was actually Bloody Buddy and Batteries Not Included, but they didn't know that at the time Spielberg was making a film with that title.
Yeah, that's where I know the Batteries Not Included thing from.
So, but yes, Bludgeoning Benny was made up by Horror Facts with Kath.
Lovely.
Yeah. Number two, the photo of Andy's deceased father in the background in his bedroom is actually a photograph of whom? One of my favorite people in all of horror cinema.
I don't know.
Director Tom Holland.
Yeah. He directed that one, right?
He did. Number three, how many people did it take to control Chucky?
10.
Close. 11, each person holding a different body part.
Yeah.
Number four, Child's Play creator Don Mancini was inspired by the blank craze.
Slasher?
Cabbage Patch.
Yeah.
Cabbage Patch Kids.
I probably still have my Cabbage Patch.
Which actress was first imagined to be the voice of Chucky? She has a great voice. She did have a great voice. May she rest in peace.
Oh, I don't know.
Jessica Walters.
Oh.
They wanted, initially they wanted a more robotic feel to the voice. Oh,
yeah, I get that.
I loved her on Archer. She played Archer's mom on the show.
Brad Dourif is such an inspired choice, though.
Oh, he's so fucking good. Funny.
Even in the bad movies.
Well, you need, and I think that's why they switched it, is I think they realized there was going to be some humor, and they needed someone, because he's a crazy motherfucker. If you ever saw Color of Night or some of these, he plays these really wackadoo characters.
Yeah, these, he just, like the bad ones, it's when Chucky doesn't have the great one-liners.
Yes.
In the good ones, he has these great one-liners.
Agreed. So there it is.
There's one.
Oh, do I have one more? No, that was it. That was five. All five.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
I can make more.
Okay. Go. Just kidding. thank you so much for listening to this episode of Terror Talk. My name is Shannon.
And I'm Kathy. Sleep safe, everyone.